Amen, amen. So I love a good meal. Come on now. Anybody love some food in the house of God today? Amen, amen. All right, all right, all right. I got a few people, you know, that love some food. I love to eat. I'm going to be honest with you. If I could, one of my favorite things to do is to just get around a table with a bunch of my close friends and a bunch of my family and just eat some good tacos. You know what I mean? Like eat a juicy steak or something like that. Let's go out to eat. Let's go have some fun. Going out to eat is like an event for me, okay? Like that's all, my wife and I, we had a date the other night and that's all we did. Like we just went out to eat, you know? It's so much fun just to get to go hang out with people that you love and share, break bread together. Come on, it's biblical. And so I love a good meal. And now last Sunday was my birthday, which by the way, thank you for all of the birthday wishes. It was amazing getting to have my birthday at church with all of you. So much fun. But my mom, she heard my dad, they come to the church as well. And she asked me, hey, what do you want for your birthday? And I'm like, listen, I'm turning 33, okay? All I want is food. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Like, just give me a good meal. Just give me a juicy steak and I'm good to go. And so we went and had a massive filet from Texas Roadhouse, the new one that opened up here in Kyle. Wanted to go check it out. And I ate about 32 of those rolls with that cinnamon butter. Come on, somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. That's the heartiest amen I'll get all day right there. That's the one. And it was so good. But that's one of those meals too. You already know what I'm talking. That's one of those meals that you eat less throughout the day in preparation for that meal. Come on, I know y'all be doing this, okay? You know if you're going to that steakhouse or you're going to that Brazilian steakhouse where it's just like unlimited meats, you know? I don't know if you've ever been somewhere like that before. It's so amazing. But you can't eat lunch. You just don't do it. It's like common practice. You barely eat breakfast. You don't eat lunch. And then you absolutely destroy a dinner, right? And that's one of those meals. And so I'm just making everybody hungry now. Is anybody hungry in the house today at 10:06 a.m.? Y'all are ready for lunch right now, okay? So everyone needs food. You know, we all have an appetite. We all get hungry. And some more than others sometimes. I would be in the sum, okay? So, but listen, every healthy person is going to have a healthy appetite. It's a desire to eat. We all need food to live, but we have to have this desire for food. If we don't have it, then something's probably wrong, right? So when do you not have an appetite? That would be when you are sick, when you're not feeling good. You probably don't really have much of an appetite. When you're not feeling well, nothing sounds good. You know what I mean? You're just, nothing really sounds good. I'm just not feeling right. My stomach's kind of off. Nothing sounds good. I don't really feel like eating anything right now. And one of my kids got a stomach bug a few months ago. And when you have kids, which I have a six-year-old and my two-year-old's over here, and when you have kids, it's just a matter of time before everybody gets sick. You know what I'm talking about? Parents say amen today. Like, you know you're going to get sick. It's you're like, we'll just wait this out and then see when this happens. And at one point, all three of our restrooms were occupied at the same time. Okay, I kid you not. All of them. My wife, she's over here. I'm going to embarrass her. My wife was in one. I was in another one. My son was in the other one. And we were all screaming at each other through the walls in agony. We were like, no! This is not good. My son is freaking, he's crying. He's like, what's happening to me? And our daughter Tegan is in the living room like, where is everybody? What's going on right now? Why are you all screaming? You know, and everybody just lost their appetite, right? Like nobody's sick anymore or nobody's hungry anymore after that. But the same steak that I was so excited to eat last week for my birthday, in that moment, I had no desire for that steak, right? I did not want it at all. It's the same steak. It's still juicy. It's still good. That cinnamon butter is still kicking. You know what I'm saying? That stuff is good. It's the same meal, but I didn't want any of it. Why? Because I was sick. And so the idea I want to get across today is that when you are spiritually healthy, you will have an appetite and a hunger for God. Amen? But when you are spiritually sick, your appetite for God is going to be lost. You're not going to have that same fervor and that hunger for the things of the Lord. You're not going to be reading your word. You're not going to be praying to the Lord. And you can, I think what I want us to do today is have a little bit of a self-examination and see, let's go to the doctor today, if we can. Let's go to the great physician And let's look within and say, am I spiritually healthy? Am I actually really hungering and thirsting after the things of God? Or am I not? And what does that say about where I'm at spiritually? Am I healthy or am I sick? So the title of the message is Lost Your Appetite. Somebody say, lost your appetite. Sometimes you've lost your appetite. We got to get it back. So in Matthew 5, we get the famous Sermon on the Mount, okay? And this is just a powerful and practical message from Jesus. It's a long one, but it's a good one. And it's about what it means to follow God. He talks about the kingdom of God. He talks about so many different subjects that they were debating in that day and his thoughts and views on these things. And so a beautiful sermon. But one of the most powerful statements he makes in the entire Sermon on the Mount, I believe, is in Matthew 5, verse 6. You could turn your Bibles there, but it'll also be up on the screen if you need it here today. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If you have a hunger for righteousness, if you have an appetite for the things of God, this is a promise directly from Jesus himself that he will not let you go hungry. Amen? That is a good promise. You got to understand that there are some promises that we have in the word that we can actually stand on, that we can claim, that we can say, hey, Jesus, you said this, and so I can stand on that promise, and I can claim that promise in my life. Man, our God is a good God. Amen? And he is not going to let his kids go hungry. He is not hiding from you. He's not hiding from me. He wants to be found. He wants to sit down and have a meal with you. He wants to be in fellowship with you. And we see this in Matthew 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. And I got another food reference for you here today. Come on. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? That's like my son coming up to me like, Dad, can I have a grilled cheese, please? And I'm like, no, go eat this rock, son. Get out of here. You know, like, I would never do that, you know? And God's saying, I would never do that to you. Like, he's a good father, and he's going to take care of you. If you ask for bread, he's going to give you bread. And in Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me. But here is the catch. You guys ready? This is it right here. When you seek me, somebody say it with all your heart. You'll seek me and you'll find me, but only when you seek me, not with some of your heart, not with a little bit of your life, surrendering just these parts of me that I can surrender, but I got to hold on to this. No, no, no. He said, you come after me with everything you got, I promise you, you'll find me. I'm not hard to find. I'm here. But you got to come after me. If you're truly hungry for God, you will find him. That's a good promise, isn't it? If I go after him with everything I got, I'm going to see the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit working in and through my life. But you have to actually be hungry for God, though. You can't come to him halfway hungry. You got to seek him with everything that you got. Now, I'm going to get in trouble because my wife is here on the first row today. But you can't be like my wife when I ask her if she's hungry. You just can't be like that. She says, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Like, are you hungry? You're not, man, I could eat maybe, you know. What am I supposed to do with that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Am I supposed to jump in the car real quick and go grab you some food? And then I come back and then I'm like the hero. Like, I brought you your favorite meal now. Or am I just supposed to be like, okay, well, you know, let me know if you're hungry and I'll get you whatever you need. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. And it could be a little confusing. So do I get food? Do I not get food right now? Don't confuse God with your hunger. Don't confuse the Lord by saying, I don't know if I'm really hungry for you right now. I could maybe eat today. Maybe I don't want to eat today. I don't really know. Don't confuse God with your hunger. Man, when you come to church and when you come to God, come to the table ready to eat. Amen. Come to the table ready to receive something from the Lord. Come to the table ready to learn from God, ready to grow with God, ready to get something straight from your Father. Why? Because he's a good God. He's not hard to find. And if you seek after him with everything you got, he will give you the bread that you asked for. Somebody say amen today. Come on. You know what it's like, though, to be extremely hungry, right? Nobody. Okay. I know what it's like to be extremely hungry. My wife says I get hangry. I do. I'm not very nice when I'm hungry. Lindsay, say amen today. Okay, all right. She's being nice. She's too nice. But when you're like, you feel like you're starving. My son's like, I'm starving, Dad. Like, well, first off, you don't really know what that's like, okay? But he'll say that. It's something we say. I'm starving. I'm hungry. Okay. When you're in that zone, does anything else matter other than getting food into your mouth? Nothing, right? Nothing else matters in that point. It's like, I can't even focus on a conversation I'm having with somebody because I am just so incredibly hungry. My brain isn't working. I'm acting weird. I'm saying dumb things. Like, why did I just say that? Oh my gosh, like I'm such a weirdo. You know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to get hangry. Like, I need to eat right now. And I just think that maybe some of us today need to have that same attitude, that same desperation that God, like, where's your hunger? Like, where's your desperation for the Lord? When was the last time that you were down at the altar and you just cried your eyes out saying, God, I need you. I need more of your presence. I need more of your spirit. When's the last time that you were at your house and you just prayed to God? He said, God, I'm not moving from this place until I meet with you here. I'm not moving from this place until I receive something from you, God. I need more of you, Lord. I need a touch from your spirit. Would you fill me again, God? When's the last time that you did that? When you were desperate. Man, and when you reach out to God, what we know about the word is that when you reach out to him, he reaches back to us. Amen. When you lift up your prayers to him, he hears you and he will respond back to you and you will experience the power and the presence of God in your life. Come on, does anybody want that in their life? I know I certainly do. Come on. It's not a possibility. It's a promise. Something you can stand on. Something you can claim. But this is what we end up doing. Kind of internally, we have these kinds of thoughts. Well, if I pray and I seek after God, like what if nothing happens? You know, what if he doesn't show up? And you kind of have these internal thoughts like, what if I really go after God? I don't feel him and I can't really hear him or anything. That's not what the word says. That's not what the word says. It says if you seek him with all of your heart, you're gonna find him. You know why I think we don't experience the power and the presence of God? Why aren't we filled? Because it is a promise that you will be filled and you will find him. So then why are we not filled with the Spirit? And I think I have a reason why. Let me tell you. I got another food story for you. I'm gonna make y'all real hungry by about 11 o'clock. All y'all stomachs are gonna be grumbling and y'all gonna be ready for lunch. Okay, here we go. So sometimes I'll be working here at the church and my admin, Jessica, and I will be here at the church. Maybe some others will be around and we'll kind of be talking, we're working through some things, and this happens quite often where I'll be starting to get hungry. It's like 5 o'clock, you know, but Lindsay, I know, is making dinner at home, but I'm like real, real hungry, okay? And so I have a choice to make in that moment. Some of y'all already know, some of y'all already laughing, you already know. Either I could just hold off a little bit and go home and eat that nice home-cooked meal, or I could go to Whataburger, you know what I mean? Like, I could do that if I so choose. And so every once in a while, I'll go and get Whataburger on the way home. And I'm really just selling myself out today, okay? But my wife has this nice home-cooked dinner. And so I come in and she put the meal on the table. And I'm just kind of picking at it. And she's like, why are you not hungry, Trev? Usually you're pretty hungry for dinner. It's been a long day at work. Why are you not hungry? Why are you not eating? Like, you know, I had a big lunch, you know? I don't think so. Like, all right, I went to Whataburger. Like, why, Trevor? Why would you do that? You knew I was making dinner. Why would you go to Whataburger on the way home? Like, you're just spending money you don't need to be spending. I made this meal for you. You know, like, she's understandably upset, okay? And so I ate the cheap stuff on the way home when I had the good meal waiting for me. Why are we not hungry for God? Because, man, I feel like we might be full of the cheap stuff already. Oh, Lord Jesus, if you're not hungry, then what are you filled with? Because we're all hungry. We're all eating something. Man, I'm not going to let myself go hungry. And if I know everybody here, ain't nobody going to let ourselves go hungry if we have the choice, right? So if we're all full, then what are we filled with exactly? Are you filling up on the things of the world? Let me tell you, it won't last, y'all. You'll be hungry again because that processed junk food, it tastes good sometimes, but it's empty calories. That's all it is. You'll just need more and more and more, and it will what? It will never be enough. It'll never be enough. What are you filled with? Is it sin? I just gotta be very real with some of y'all today. All right, I hope we're okay. The porn will never get you excited enough. The beer will never get you drunk enough. The drugs will never get you high enough. Oh, I'm telling you, it's how junk food works. How does it work? It is literally designed to keep you coming back. It's designed to get you addicted to it. And this is what Satan has designed sin to do, is that it would get you addicted to these things, that he would get you in these unhealthy cravings that you would come back to, and you would come back to again, and come back to again, and you'll be eating the same junk that you've always eaten for your entire life. Man, you're eating T-Bell when Jesus is trying to get you a T-bone. Come on, somebody. Like, why are you doing that? Why are you messing with that? Like, Taco Bell, you know, it's hot and spicy. It tastes good in the moment. Oh, Lord, but you pay for it later, don't you? You sure do. What are you filled with? Sin? Are you filled with stuff? What are you filled with? If it's not sin, okay, are you filled with stuff? The bank account will never be full enough. The house will never be big enough. The phone will never be new enough. The car will never be fast enough. Come on, somebody, don't store up your treasures on earth, but store up your treasures where? In heaven. You might not be hungry for God because you subconsciously feel like you don't need him. Now, I've never heard somebody physically say that. And I've also, I don't think any of you have ever actually had that exact thought in your head. You've probably never been like, I don't need God because I have all the stuff I ever need. It's hard to explain this. It's not an actual thought that you will have in your head, but it is a subconscious way of thinking that will seep through every area of your life, and it will start to influence every other thought that you have and every action that you have. You might never think, well, I don't need God. I got all this. Look what I've done. No one ever thinks that, but we live that, right? We start to live that out. You have everything you need. You start to realize, well, I built this life for myself. Like, I did this. You get comfortable is what happens. You start to think, well, I don't really need a savior. Why would I? Because I'm good. This is the exact problem that Jesus has with the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3. I want you to look at this with me. It says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, somebody say lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That is a pretty scathing rebuke, right? And that's what it is. Let's be real, it's a rebuke of people who think that they have everything they need. They've lost the desperation for God. They've lost their hunger for God because now they've acquired worldly wealth, worldly desires. They have the family, they got the kids, they got the house, they got the car. Why do I need God anymore? And you're not gonna think that thought that way, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Is that it just starts to, it's just a way that you live. You just naturally get comfortable over time and you stop seeking after God. When you were desperate, and you were down and out. Like, there's some people in this room today that have been radically saved by Jesus. Amen? Like, come on now. Like, and you were down at the lowest point. You remember the desperation that you had for God in that moment? And so now that God has blessed you, now we lose that? I should be even more desperate for God. I should want to be even more because now God has blessed me. He's got me out of the pit and he's brought me onto the mountaintop. I should have even more of a desire for God than I've ever had before because I've seen his blessings, because I've seen his faithfulness. And God, I want more of your spirit. And yet we don't do that. We get to the mountaintop and we're like, ah, I've made it. Thanks, Lord. I'm gonna go do my thing. Oh, man. And this analogy, right? So we see this verse here and a lot of people will say it as, well, this means that God would rather you be either not a Christian or like just an atheist or be a sold out Christian, like a follower of Jesus. That's actually not what this means. I think it checks out in some sense, but that's actually not what this analogy means. So the people that lived in this town, their water got brought in from an aqueduct, okay? They would have understood exactly what this means. Because the water, as it went through this aqueduct, it would get to them, and it was lukewarm by the time it got to this city. And so they would understand this idea that this lukewarm water is not really good for anything. Hot and cold are actually both good things in this analogy. I want you to read it that way. Hot and cold is good. Why? What can you do with hot water? You can do a whole lot with hot water, right? You could cook with hot water. You can make that nice home-cooked meal that I should have eaten instead of going to Whataburger. You know what I mean? Come on, somebody. Make that nice home-cooked meal. You can put some pasta and boil some water. Or you could purify something, right? You need to purify water. You boil it. Make it real hot. There's a lot of things you can do. You can take a nice hot bath. Come on now. A nice hot shower. Like, that's amazing. You get in a hot tub. It's good stuff. Hot water is good. Cold water. Oh, come on. It's the best. It's about to get really hot here in Central Texas, is it not? We're about to feel it right when you come out of here. It's probably going to be a little bit warmer. It's going to be 102 degrees. You're going to want some cold water, right? It's refreshing. Sometimes you take a cold plunge, you know, you get in the water, you get in that pool. Oh, you go to Barton Springs. It's like the perfect cold temperature. It's just beautiful, right? It's very refreshing. So hot, cold, both are good things. What's the only kind of water that's just like, eh, lukewarm? I ain't gonna drink lukewarm water. Why would I do that? It's of no use to me. And the people in this city would have understood that exactly, because the water that would get to them was already kind of lukewarm, and they would have totally understood this analogy. I think that nothing makes God more frustrated than a lukewarm, dead church. It's frustrating to him. Being real, it's like, I sent my son for this? To die for this? Really? I'd be frustrated too. A church full of people who might put John 3:16 in their Instagram bio, but haven't cracked open that Bible in weeks, right? That's frustrating. People that pray to God on Sundays, partying with Satan on Saturdays. That's lukewarm. People who see themselves as rich and not really needing God, not really needing anything. I'm good. I've got everything I have. But why would I cry out to God in desperation when I'm not desperate? Well, you got to get desperate. You got to get desperate for God again. You got to stay desperate. You got to stay hungry. Jesus calls those people pitiful, poor. You actually have nothing. You think you have everything. In reality, you ain't got nothing. He's saying you've gotten complacent. You've gotten comfortable. Man, where is that desperation that maybe you once had? Where is that passion for the things of God? When did you fall out of love with God and start just going through the motions? It's like you're divorced, but you're still living together. Like, what are you doing? This is what God's saying. I just believe that somebody today needs to open up their heart to God again. To be honest enough with yourself, to be like, oh man, God, is that me? Am I spiritually healthy? Do I have that appetite and that hunger for the things of God? Or am I spiritually sick? Because I'm not seeing within myself and the way I live my life that I really care or that I'm going after God. Or you got to do that self-evaluation today. Ask him for forgiveness. You got to seek after him, hunger after God today. And you got to ask. He said, ask and you shall receive. So what am I going to do? I'm going to ask God, give me a hunger for righteousness. Make me thirsty for the things of God. Lord, make me desperate for you. Again, increase my appetite. Lord, I'm just desperate for you today. I need you, God. I need your spirit. And then the writer of Psalm 42, he finds himself in just this desperate place for God. We don't know who he is. It's not David. David didn't write all the Psalms, if you didn't know that. He wrote a lot of them, but not all of them. But what we know about this person that wrote Psalm 42 is that he was most likely a worship leader. And he was a worship leader, and he would lead people in Israel in worshiping, and just like Pastor Tim and all these amazing people that led us today. And he says this, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? When can I go and meet with you? Why did he say that? Well, in the Old Testament, they had these places, they had a temple that they would go and meet with God. And just a few verses later, he actually writes, "Man, I remember when I used to go meet with you at the temple and we would praise you and I would lead people and we would all sing together and all worship together. I remember those times. Man, when can I go and do that again?" Why does he say that? Because they were in exile. Because all of God's people had been taken in captivity in a far off land. They were far away from the temple. So he was in this place and he was just kind of sitting there. He's like, "God, I want to be able to approach you again in this temple. I want to be able to worship you in the way that you've told us that we need to worship you. When can I go and meet with you again?" But the beauty of what God has done, that's the old covenant, y'all. The beauty of what God did by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. And then in just a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Easter, where the stone is rolled away and he is raised again. You might say, "Well, when can I go and meet with God?" Right now, you can meet with God. Amen? Right here, right now, you can meet with the Lord. There's no veil that is still in front of you. And God says the veil was what? Torn. There's nothing stopping you from meeting with God right now. And yet the thing that stops us more than anything else is our lack of hunger. The thing that stops us more is our sin. The thing that stops us more is a lack of desperation, feeling like we got everything we need. It's my mind that stops me from seeking after God. And for hungry, I want to meet with God. I can do it right now. There is nothing stopping us. You can meet with God at your house. You can meet with God at work. You can meet with God while you're driving down the road. Just be careful you don't get slain in the spirit. Come on, somebody. Like, you got to drive. Keep your eyes open in that prayer. But you can meet with God today, right here, right now. What are you filled with? I don't want to be filled with sin. I don't want to be filled with stuff. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be filled with righteousness. Listen, if you're struggling right now, Jesus is the answer. If you're going through a mental health issue right now, Jesus is the answer, okay? If you're going through a family problem, a relationship problem, Jesus is the answer today. Your kids are driving you nuts, Jesus is the answer. And some discipline, amen. That's another sermon, here we go. Jesus is the answer for every single problem that you face in your life. And if you wanna see revival in your life, if you wanna, you gotta have some hunger for God. You gotta get hungry. You wanna see miracles in your life? You need a miracle today? Oh man, you gotta get thirsty for the things of God. And so I just wanted to provide an opportunity for us to worship Jesus together and to increase our hunger and our thirst for righteousness. Increase our hunger and our thirst for the things of God. I just believe that I don't want to be the church at Laodicea. That's not what this is going to be. I just believe that Radical Church is going to be a church full of people who are hungry, thirsty for God, seeking after him, worshiping in spirit and in truth, believing for miracles, believing that God is not done yet, that he's got the best ahead of us, amen, like that God is gonna bring revival to Hayes County. It's gonna start right here in each and every one of you and in your families. That's, maybe I'm a little crazy, but that's what I believe. But it all starts with the hunger, the expectation level. If we expect that God is gonna show up, he'll show up. If you don't expect that God's gonna meet you in this place, then why would he? Why would he show up? But we have to increase the hunger level. And then when you seek, like Jeremiah 29:13, when you seek me with all of your heart, ooh, that's when you find him. And so we're gonna sing a song in just a moment. And it's called Nothing Else. And I actually asked that they would play this the end of service here. This song is just, it's always touched my heart, but the last few weeks, it's really just been impactful for me, and just found myself playing my guitar and just worshiping through this song, and God really spoke to me through this song over the last couple of weeks, and the song is a lament. It's basically saying, nothing else will do. It says, I just want you, God. Nothing else in this life is gonna satisfy my hunger. Nothing else is gonna do it for me. God, I need you, I want you. And then it says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, when I tried to do it my own way. I'm sorry, God, when I tried to fill my life with other things. I'm sorry when I came to you with my plans and I need to trust you for your plans and your ways. God, I'm sorry for all these things. God, I just want you today. Nothing else will satisfy. And so I invite you all to stand with me as we enter into a time of worship for a moment. I want to encourage you to just take a moment and let's connect with the heart of God. Let's raise the level of hunger in our church family. Let's raise a level of hunger and thirst for righteousness in your family today. And I want to let you know that as we worship here today, there's going to be a couple of prayer partners up here, and these altars are open for you. If you want to come to the front and you want to lay down your life right at the foot of the cross, if you want to lay down your burdens right here at the altar, man, Jesus, I believe, will meet you right here. And so I encourage you, if that's you and you say, you know what, I just need to take a second and meet with God. Man, all across the front, people will pray with you. You can have some time by yourself up here at the front with God. Wherever you're at the back, at your seat, I just believe if you will truly hunger and thirst after God with all of your heart, he's gonna meet you here today. Nothing else will do, God. We just want you. So come on, let's pray real quick. Lord, we worship you. We thank you. Come on, all over this place. Let's just start raising our expectation today. Lord, we ask that you would meet us here today. Let your spirit blow through this place right now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. Fill us, Lord, with righteousness. You said that if we sought after you, that we would find you. If we knock on the door, that you will open the door. That if we ask for bread, that you're gonna give us some bread today. You're gonna feed our souls, God. But we have to come after you with everything we have. So Lord, for somebody that needs a miracle, I pray they seek after you. For somebody that's struggling in addiction, I pray they seek after you right now. For somebody that's dealing with relationship issues, for somebody that feels like I got everything I need, God, make them desperate for you again. Bring them to their knees and to tears today, saying, God, I need you again, Lord. I need you again, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord. All across this room, Lord Jesus, let your spirit move. We thank you, God. Come on, let's worship together. Caught up in your presence,
just want you and nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Come on. I just want you. Nothing else. No. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else.
Opportunity for everybody to respond to the word today. And there might be a couple of different ways that you can respond to what God has spoken to us today. So I just like to ask everybody, if you can, bow your heads. And I just want to ask, maybe you might be one of those people. You say, you know what, Pastor? You've been talking about not having a hunger and a thirst for God. I feel like I've grown complacent. I feel like I've gotten comfortable. I feel like I haven't been thirsting after God and hungering after God, maybe in the way that I used to. And I want to repent from that today, and I want to ask that God would increase my hunger for Him today. I ask that God that you would increase my appetite for the things of God. And if that's you here today and you would just be humble enough to admit that that's me, would you on the count of three, would you just raise your hand? I just want to know who I'm praying for today. 1, 2, 3. If that's you all across this room, come on, hand. I've been complacent. I haven't been hungry for God, but I want more. I want more of you, God. I want more of your spirit. I want more of your presence in my life. Come on, all across this room, raise your hand if that's you, high and proud today. Come on, God, I need you. I need your spirit. Amazing. Hands everywhere going up. You can put your hands down today. That's your signal to God today. That's between you and God saying, hey, Lord, I'm coming after you. I'm gonna hunger after you more than I ever had before and believe that you're gonna fill me with the good things of God. But there's another group of people here today. It might overlap a little bit. You might also have raised your hand for this last one. You might also need to raise it again. But there's another group of people that maybe you've never given your life to God. And you haven't really hungered for God because you haven't really known God. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Him today. I just want to encourage you, for those of you that might be in that boat, you've never given your life to Him, or you know that you need to rededicate your life to Him. Man, Jesus loves you. He's here in this place right now by the power of His Spirit. He wants to change your life. He wants to turn over a new leaf. He wants to help you in every area of your life that you're struggling in right now. He knows every thought. He knows every desire that you have. He knows every evil thing you've ever thought. He knows every deep desire and hope and dream that you have in your life. And He wants to help you in every area of your life, but you've got to turn your life over to Him. If you would reach out to Him right now, He's going to reach back out to you. And He'll meet you right here, right now. The beauty of the gospel is that Jesus died on that cross for you, for every sin that you've ever committed, for every time you've ever gone wrong, for everything that you've ever said that wasn't of God. You know what the Bible says, though, is that He will take all of your sins, He will forgive every single one of them, and wipe them away as if they never even happened. It's like a clean slate today, right here. And so whether you need to give your life to Him for the first time or rededicate your life to Him, I'm gonna invite you on the count of three to raise your hand boldly and say, God, I'm gonna follow you from this day forward. If that's you, 1, 2, 3. Would you raise your hand? I'm gonna see you today. Look up at me. Come on, guys, I see you. Man, I'm so proud of y'all. That's beautiful. That's amazing. Come on, guys, right here. I see y'all in the back. I see you as well. Right here, hands going up everywhere. Come on. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm so proud of you guys. It's amazing. Come on, all of heaven is rejoicing right now. I hope you know that. Come on, can we rejoice here on earth? Let's put our hands together. You can put your hands down, man. It's so grateful. About 10 people saying yes to Jesus for the first time or rededicating their life to God. Come on, if we can we all just lift our hands up like this, like we're about to receive the best gift we've ever gotten before, right? It's a present. He's gonna give you the gift of salvation today, and all of us are gonna support those who are saying yes to Jesus. Come on, pray after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life right here, right now. Help me to hunger for you, for the things of God, not for the things of this world. Thank you for forgiving me, for making me brand new. I put you first. I put me last. And I hunger for you today. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing it right now, forgiving me and changing me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, somebody shout amen. Let's give Him praise right now. God's doing it in the house. Come on, praise God. Hey, I want to encourage you. If you made that decision to follow Jesus today, man, we want to know about it. We want to encourage you with it. Will you fill out a prayer card that's in the seat back in front of you or on your Connect card? Man, write down, I'm giving my life to Jesus today. We want to encourage you in that as well. And for all of you that are giving your life to Jesus, for all of you that are saying, hey, I want to hunger and thirst after God, I pray that right now, as you leave these doors, even as you go eat lunch today, whether you're going out to eat at Whataburger or you're going home for a nice home-cooked meal, I pray that you would think about the idea that I might be filling myself physically right now, but I'm going to fill myself spiritually for the rest of this week. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see you next week.